Good day, everyone, and a massive happy Father's Day to all of our dads watching wherever you are. We hope that you are celebrating this day with loved ones. We also want to commend those who have been our fathers in this generation, the fathers like Don Bodley and Henk Leenstra, who set exceptional godly examples for us. We also want to pray for those who have lost their fathers and are struggling in this celebration today. Know that we are with you. And today, as a church, we want to invite all of the fathers to an ice cream drive-through between 10 and 12. Come through to the ATAP Center in a drive-through fashion. Bring your own container, and we'll happily give you some soft serve and add some flavor of your choice to enjoy at home. But even though today is Father's Day, we're going to continue with our series called The Whole New World, a study on the Sermon on the Mount. And today in particular, we're going to study Matthew 5, verse 31 to 37 together. But before we read this portion of Scripture, we must bear in mind that for many of you who have walked through divorce and are now either single or even remarried, those whose parents were divorced, and even loved ones who have experienced the pain of divorce from a distance, we know and we are fully aware that the mere mention of the word divorce carries huge weight for you. The weight of sorrow, the weight of loss and tragedy, disappointment, anger, regret, and also guilt. In fact, I've been there myself. And most of us who have been through divorce would agree that there are few things in life that are more painful than divorce, because divorce cuts to the depths of our hearts unlike any other wound. It is emotionally more heart-wrenching than the death of a spouse, because death is usually clean pain. Divorce, however, is usually dirty pain. In other words, the enormous loss of a spouse and death is compounded in divorce by the ugliness of sin and moral outrage at being so wronged by the one you love so dearly. And this could be due to the fact that when two are joined together in a wonderful celebration at their wedding days, it really is a wonderful new creation. Two worlds coming together in perfect harmony, and I'll even try and shape this in a bit of a heart. Because for most of us, our wedding day is that. It is filled with love, and it's an incredible celebration. And then later on in our married lives, we normally add children to the mix, and it becomes one really colorful heart. And it's a celebration of life. It's amazing to see the worlds just intertwine as we share experiences together, life together. But for most of us, we would agree that that's where the ugliness of divorce comes in. You tear these worlds apart. It's ugly and it's painful. And so today we'll be in two parts. Firstly, we're going to look at ways to prevent divorce. And then for those who have been through divorce in whatever capacity, we are going to reveal how Christ responds to divorce and hopefully put you on a path where you would find some healing to the extent where you can experience being loved again. And so please, would you turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5, verse 31. Let's read together. It has been said, anyone who divorces his wife must give her a certificate of divorce. But I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife, except for sexual immorality, and some translations even put it, if she has been unfaithful, makes her the victim of adultery. And anyone who marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard it said to people long ago, don't break your oath, but fulfill to the Lord the vows you have made. But I tell you, do not swear an oath at all, either by heaven, for it's God's throne, or by earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. All you need to say is simply yes or no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we ask that as we unpack this text today, that you would speak to us like you always do, with words of grace and compassion, wrapped in mercy and gentleness. For you are fully aware that for so many, this breaks their hearts. For so many, we have experienced the pain of divorce, either personally or from a distance. And today, we need to hear from you a message of hope and healing. And so if it is your will, do that for us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, before we unpack this text, we must take note of what Jesus taught before this passage on divorce and afterwards. Before the passage, Jesus teaches about lust and adultery, and then after the passage, he teaches about vows. And this is no coincidence. I think it's very intentional because Jesus knows us so well. He knows that divorce doesn't just happen overnight. God knows that it usually takes years upon years of adultery and unfaithfulness in our hearts. And just like we mentioned in the week during our breakfast bites, adultery in marriage isn't limited to a sexual act. It starts with lust in the heart. And not necessarily just lust in a sexual sense, but also lusting after things that don't belong to or in your marriage. And that's why Jesus says so passionately, if you and I discover that something is causing us to sin, take it out, chop it off, remove that temptation from your life. Because if you don't, it will destroy you. And in so doing, it will destroy your marriage. And if you have children, it will destroy them too. But even worse, if we leave sin unconfessed, it can destroy our lives, both now and into eternity. And that's why Jesus follows up his teaching on divorce with the teaching about vows, where we are challenged to be men and women of our word. Let your yes be yes and your no be no, declares the Lord. This counts for your marriage, and it even counts for the smallest commitment you and I have ever made. Because when we keep our promises, it builds credibility, of which builds trust. And then out of a relationship of trust, sharing the gospel becomes much easier. Because why would a person of their word lie about eternal matters if they've always told the truth about the things of earth? And so with that context, let's unpack today's entire reading. We're going to start with Jesus' teaching on vows because it's at the very heart of the problem, isn't it? In our culture today, a person's word just doesn't seem to hold much value at all. And we don't have to go very far to discover how true this has become in our own lives. How many of us have made big New Year's resolutions only to break them in the first week in February? Hopefully not too many hands lifted behind those screens. But how many of us have made smaller commitments only to find that we've broken them? This is especially true for the most helpful people we know. And it's simple because it's hard for them to say no to a request. And before they know it, they've overcommitted themselves and in so doing, under-delivered on a promise made. If that's you, take courage in the fact that you're not alone. I think most of us have done this at least once in our lives. But the big lesson for us in this text today is this. When you and I leave this unchecked and unchanged in our lives, we diminish the gospel impact we can have in this world. To put it positively, if you and I are known for people of honor and people who honor their word and their commitments, we drastically increase the credibility of the gospel whenever we share it. Because why would someone question the truth of the message that you're sharing if you've always been known as a person who keeps their word and promises? But what does this have to do with marriage and divorce? We think it's got everything to do with it. Because all of us know that there's one thing that happens at every single wedding: the exchanging of vows. And in our modern day context, often people write their own vows or they use the traditional ones. But the one thing remains consistent. On that day, the two individuals go, and in that moment, they make promises before God and all who have gathered with them. And every person who's ever done this or witnessed this would agree that in that moment, the breaking of those vows doesn't feature at all. And this is where the teaching of Jesus becomes very personal for every married couple, but also every single one of us hearing this message today. Whenever you and I are tempted to break a vow, we are tempted to break a commitment and go back on our word, whenever you and I are tempted to throw in the towel and file for divorce, we must remember that our actions in that moment have far deeper consequences than what we think. It's not just about breaking a vow. It's not just about going back on your word. It's about broadcasting to this world that when things are tough, your word doesn't matter. It's about broadcasting to this world that when the conditions change in which you made your vow, then the vows in themselves change too. Oh, friends, this is an extremely low view of marriage. And this isn't something new. It happened in the days of Moses and in the days of Jesus, where people will get divorced because their husband lost their six-pack or their wives changed the color of their hair. The actual words used in Deuteronomy chapter 24 state that whenever your spouse becomes displeasing to you, or you find something indecent about them, well then, you can file for divorce. That was the culture then. And it seems that for us today, it is still the culture, very alive in our world. The one thing that is clear from when we study Deuteronomy chapter 24, Matthew 5, and all the other texts that speak about marriage and divorce and adultery, the one thing that is clear is it breaks God's heart even more than when it breaks ours. Because friends, God places an incredibly high value on marriage. And it's the last thing that He wants to see is beautiful unity broken up in divorce The last thing he wants to see is two of his wonderful creations, his sons and daughters, experience the pain that it causes. And so right now, if you're married, the challenge is fight for your marriage until death do you part. Men, fight for the wife of your youth until the very end. Don't give up. Because when you fight for her, you're showing this world not only what a marriage vow is truly about, in your fighting, you're revealing to this world that even when we turn our backs on God, he will never turn his back on us. Even when you and I were filthy, wretched sinners, unfaithful to God and the covenant that we made with him, Christ kept his promise. He kept his vow to his bride. He kept his vow to you and I. And even when he was beaten, mocked, and scorned, he didn't give up. He didn't go back on his word. Instead, he gave his life for his bride. And so right now, you and I are called and challenged to fight for our marriage. Do whatever it takes to keep your vows and remain faithful to your commitments. And we want to say this, if both of you are committed to making it work, God fights with you because he joined you together. And the last thing he wants to see is your brokenness and your pain. However, friends, we are fully aware that in some cases, you've done all that you can to save your marriage. You've gone for marriage counseling. You have tried every single piece of advice given. You've poured all that you have into that relationship to the extent where you've stood before the Lord with tears pouring down your face, saying, "Help me, Lord, because I've tried everything to save my marriage, to keep my vows, but my spouse remains unfaithful. My spouse just won't come to the party." And friends, this is where we often read past Jesus' teaching in Matthew 5. And as the church, we often condemn those who have tried everything and then simply had to accept defeat. No, friends, Christians all over the world, let us follow the example of Christ in this teaching and all the other teachings regarding marriage, where it is clear mercy triumphs over judgment. And do you remember the story in John chapter 4 of the Samaritan woman who has clearly been unfaithful with multiple men? Do you remember how Jesus treated her? Yes, he convicted her of her unfaithfulness, but he forgave her, healed her, with mercy sent her back and challenged her to go and sin no more. What about the adulterous woman in John 8? I always find this fascinating that she gets pulled in front of the teachers of the law on her own. But where was the man? Needless to say, Jesus shows her mercy instead of judgment. Yes, he convicts her of her unfaithfulness, forgives her, heals her, and sends her on her way to go and sin no more. Does this give us freedom to just go and do as we please and get married and when we feel like it, get divorced and just move on and do it again and again and again? Not at all. And frankly put, who would want to do that to themselves? Because every single person who's ever gone through divorce, even those who have been spectators to it, would agree it is the most painful thing you can experience. And so you might be sitting where you are right now with an extremely heavy heart because you've either experienced that pain yourself or you've been a spectator to it. Friends, we've got some extremely good news for you today. But firstly, for those who are married right now, and you have found lockdown extremely difficult because you're in each other's company 24/7. and there's no 45-hour-a-week business break. Or positively, there's no 45-hour time period where the fondness of your hearts can grow back together again. But if you're sitting right now in lockdown, and this has been extremely difficult on your marriage, it is our prayer that you'll find the courage and strength today to go and deal with some of those wounds, to reconcile that relationship once again, to find the love that you committed to years ago. And if you need guidance, please contact us. We're more than willing to help you through the storm, to find some healing, reconciliation again, so that you enjoy living life together in lockdown and outside of it. But what happens if you've been through the storm? You've been hurt by your spouse's unfaithfulness to your marriage vows, and after doing all that you can, you're now divorced. And for some of you, you might have moved on and you might even find yourself remarried and things are great. But when you carefully inspect the condition of your heart, you are fully aware that you've merely locked away that pain, that hurt, merely hide the scars. And you've never allowed God into that space to come and give you healing like never before. For those of us who have been spectators to divorce, who've been involved in it in some way or form, you understand the hurt that it's caused the individuals involved, but you might have also been hurt with a bit of collateral damage. Hear this today. God wants to heal us all. He wants us to experience being loved and loved like never before, like we were long ago. And so if you're sitting here right now and that pain is hidden, would you allow the Lord to come today and wipe those tears off of your face? Would you allow Him to come and heal you and allow His healing touch to set you free to love yourself once again as a child of God? Because often we carry guilt and shame with us because of divorce, and that affects our relationship with Him. Allow Him today to heal you and remind you again that you are loved and cherished by Him. May His healing touch also give you the courage to forgive those who have hurt you. I know that this is extremely difficult, and this is where you and I need to lean on God's strength more than our own. And then finally, may His healing touch empower you to love and be loved once again. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, I first want to pray for those who are currently married. Oh Lord, we thank You for those who are happily married and love each other today like they did on their wedding day. But we also want to pray for those who have struggled through lockdown, but even before lockdown, where there's been conflict in the marriage and they've been deeply hurt and they're struggling to keep it together. Lord, give them the strength and courage to keep fighting for the vows that they made long ago. And more importantly, Lord, heal the brokenness in so many marriages today. Give couples the courage to work through the pain and, if need be, to ask for help, so that we can all experience that incredible love that we once did once again. And then we also pray, Lord, for those who have been broken beyond repair, for those who have been broken by the pain of divorce, and even for those who are spectators of it. O Lord, heal the brokenness. Give us strength to bring our brokenness to you and leave it at your altar so that we can once again experience wholeness in and through you. And then lastly, forgive us for our unfaithfulness to you and to one another, and restore to us again the joy of your salvation, so that we can be witnesses of your gospel to the ends of the earth with honor and integrity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.